Genesis chapter 11, begin reading in verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. My heart's in these words, but in verse 6 especially, notice what it says. And the Lord said, is that a familiar word? The next one it says, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language." We have looked at that word, behold. I said it already, so over 1,300 times, so we find that word, behold. It means, looky, looky, look here. Looky, yeah, it does. Looky, looky. It means, look here. It means, look at this. Don't miss this. He says, look, at you're about to learn something. I'm about to show you something that you better not miss. It means, look at here. Look, look, look at this. Close. Examine it. Don't miss it. We find in these verses the fact that God stops the self-willed. We have looked at the fact that God sends seed. That means He provides. That God sees sin. That means He punishes. That He saves sinners. That means He pardons. That He sanctifies speakers. That means He preaches. That He sustains saints. That means He proves. That He satisfies servants, that means He promotes. That He subdues stubborn, that means He prevails. That He supports sorrowful, that means He positions. I say tonight, God stops the self-willed. That means He prohibits. Here's some people who said, we're going to do what we want to do, no matter what God says. We will do as we will, self-willed, stubborn, selfish. The Lord says in these verses they had the same language. That means literally, as we would think of, Chinese, Japanese, English, the same language. But it also says the one language and one speech. That means the same words. If you look back at the old English, and they use the word thee and thou and shalt not. Well, we understand that, but sometimes we struggle with that. It's the same language, but it's not the same words. God said they had the same language, and they used the same words. The whole bunch understood the whole bunch. They are of one mind, one speech, one direction. And God stopped what they tried to do. We'll try and look at this evening why. Verse 6 sums it up. And He says, if I don't do something, they're going to do, listen to me, what they want to do. They'll be able to do what I don't want them to do. Could I mention first, the Lord was clear. Now they said this, let's get together and build us a city and build us a tower and let's stay there and make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad. But what had God said? Is that what God had told them to do? Of course not. In fact, He had told them the opposite. In Genesis 9:1, the Bible says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, listen, here's what God said, and it's very clear. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He said, fill the earth up, spread out. Grow, have youngins, develop and spread and supply and provide and fill the earth. They knew what God said. It was very clear. Got a question. If God tells you to replenish and fill the earth, do you understand those words? Sure you do. And so did they. His words were clear and they knew what He said and they didn't care. Because they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. They wanted their own way, self-willed. They are selfish people. By the way, when God told Noah what to do and his family, by the way, it was not a suggestion. He was not saying, now I tell you what, Noah, you think this over. And if you go along with it, we'll go with this plan. Now, if you want to do something else, that's fine. If you got a plan you like better, you let me know. We'll talk about it. No, God says, here's what I want you to do. And they knew what He wanted them to do, and they did not care. They say in verse 4, go to, now let us, self-willed, build us a city right here, and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Let's make a city power, and a tower, and a name prestige. They are self-willed people, selfish people. In verse 3 it says, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They said, we're going to build us a city. We're going to build us a tower. And boy, the buildings in our city and the construction of that tower is going to be like nobody has ever seen before. We're going to go and make brick and burn them thoroughly. In other words, make them strong. Now, one problem with that is the fact that in that area, there was rocks galore. And they could have easily used those stones, those rocks, to build if they wanted to build. But they didn't want to build with rocks. They wanted to make their own brick with their own hands and build their own buildings with their ingenuity and their power because they're building a name for themselves. And when it's done, they don't want anybody to misunderstand who built it. That's our city. We're the ones that did it. Self-willed. I say first, the Lord is clear. He told them what to do, and they did not care. They were going to build a tower. It probably was a ziggurat, which was a construction tower that was used to worship idols. At the bottom was a place of worship, like a temple. And the tower was up, and of course at the top there was a place where a flat roof and an idol was on the top. And they used that ziggurat, they used that tower to worship false gods. They viewed that tower as a ladder to allow their false gods, their gods, little g's, to ascend and descend. To go up to their heaven and bring them down the help they needed and to answer their prayers. So they're worshiping their false gods. Listen to me. This is about 100 years after the flood. 100 years after the flood. The flood didn't teach them a thing. Listen to me. Noah's still alive. Noah lived 350 years after the flood. And this is 100 years after the flood. Noah's in that bunch. And perhaps even Noah's whole family's in that bunch. For sure the offspring of Noah's in this group. And they've seen God's judgment firsthand. And somehow they think they're going to do what they want to do and get away with it. I'm talking about the Lord is clear. He made it clear what he wanted. But they said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We will get the honor. We will do the work and people will realize who did it. And they said this, lest we be scattered. We don't want to spread out. Let's gather together. There's more power in the group. There's more power in a city. There's more prestige if we stay together. They're doing exactly what God said not to. They are not caring what God said, even though what he said was very clear. And listen to me, God knew what was ahead, and he was trying to protect them. Now, surely, union and unity and working together can be good if you've got good people. But if you've got bad people, unity and union means sin. Got a question. Where's the most crime in our country? Out in the country or in the cities? Where's the most murders, country or city? Where's the most robberies? Where's the most anything bad? It is those places where people are confined, where they're together as a group, as a whole, because they are as sorry. Hey, listen, when you put sinful people together, you get sin. And God knew if I let them go on like they are, they're going to make worse mess than ever before the flood. So he stops them. And by the way, unless you miss the message, when we do it our way, when we say, I don't care what God wants, I'm going to do it my way, we are heading for trouble. And thank the Lord, sometimes he stops us before we get into trouble. Sometimes he lets us get in trouble. I say, the Lord is clear. What he wanted was clear. I say again, the flood didn't fix man one bit. They knew what God said and they didn't care. And listen, most of us know what this Bible says. It's not what I don't know about this Bible that bothers me. It's what I do know about it that I realize I'm not living up to. This Bible is clear. What God says is very clear, abundantly clear, and we know what he says. But the question is, just like with them, are we doing what he told us to do? He's clear about salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God says you get saved by grace, not by works. He's clear about salvation. He's clear about separation. Here's what the Bible says about, here's what God says about separation. Wherefore come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He says, I want you separate. He's clear about salvation. He's clear about separation. He's clear about service. Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear. Realize he is God. I ought to fear him. I ought to know what he could do and fear him and serve him with all my heart. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. I ought to serve him with gladness. I ought to be thrilled about the fact that I can serve God. It ought to thrill me that I can serve him. I know he says that. He tells me to serve him. I'm saying the Lord is clear. They didn't misunderstand what God said, and neither do we. He's clear about salvation and separation and service. He is clear about sharing. He tells us to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He tells us, and we know what he says. But my question is, are we doing it? They weren't. They wanted to be left alone. They, in essence, were saying, God, we know what you want, but if you don't mind, just leave us alone and let us do what we want to do. Let us do it our way. And how many times have we done that to our detriment? How many times have we known we were doing something we really shouldn't have or it wasn't the best thing for us, and we knew we would pay, and we did it anyway, and we paid? The Lord is clear. He knows they knew what He said, and so do we so many times. But listen, I am so glad God didn't let them go. I'm afraid He's about to let our country go. There comes a point where God says, if you won't listen to me, I'll let you go. And you'll pay the consequences. I'm wondering, has He done that for some churches? I wonder if He's done that for some Christians. Just says, okay, if you won't listen to me, I'll let you go. I'll let you go on down the path. I'm glad He didn't to them. And I'm glad He'll try and stop us. The first thing, the Lord is clear. Look in verse 5 to begin with. I want to mention number 2, the language was confounded. The Lord was clear. The language was confounded. Look in verse 5. Let's read it again. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to now, let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Here's the origin of languages. Our smart people try to tell us where languages come from. And they say they started with people grunting each other. Well, that's about like Darwin and evolution. It's stupid, dumb, and wrong. I don't know how you can be stupid and dumb, but it is. I guess that's worse than stupid and worse than dumb. It's stupid and dumb. I know this, it's dumb. Here's what God said. I gave them an entire new language. An entire, complete, mature language that was new, that they had never known. But they could speak it to someone. They could understand themselves what they were saying. Even though they had never spoken that language, they could speak it and understand it. And there was someone there that could understand it also. God confounded their language. Where there was one, now there are many. Instantly, all of a sudden, like so many things, God performed a miracle. Evolutionist says there's a whole lot of miracles. A little nothing became a little something, and that little something turned into a tadpole, and that little tadpole wandered out into the ground and developed legs. They said miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I say the Bible just says, God, just one thing. God just says, do it. It's done. That's one miracle. I'd rather believe in one miracle, God did it, than all those impossibilities of evolution. Their language was confounded. Yeah, I did a little study on the origin of languages while I was at this point. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Here is some of the theories. Here is the name. I'm telling you the truth. I am not lying to you. You'll think I'm lying, but I'm not. I'm telling the truth now. Some of the names are the theories of the origin of languages. Here's what they're called. Poo-poo. I'm telling you the truth. Ding-dong. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking this is a joke. I'm telling you this is really the scientific facts. Here are the theories. Listen to this one. Ho-hee-ho. Another one, ta-ta. Another one, bow-wow. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of idiots around us. It got so bad, listen to this. In 1866, the Linguistic Society of Paris, listen to me, banned any existing or future debates on the subject of language. It finally got so bad that they said, will you please just shut up about it? There'll be no more debates. We ain't going to talk about it anymore. You know why? Because man thinks they're smarter than God. But they're wrong. The language was confounded. He gave an entire language, mature language, complete language, instantly to people. But then I end with this thought. I've tried to magnify the Lord. It's clear. He was clear about what he said. But they didn't care. They said, we're going to do it our way. Their language, or the language, was confounded. And God said, okay, you think you're going to do what I tell you not to do and get by? I'll make it where you can't even understand each other. So that brings me to my third point. The labor was ceased. Look in verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth. And they left off to build the city. He came in and confounded their language. They couldn't understand each other enough to build another row of brick. So they stopped. Hey, God stopped them. Verse 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did therefore confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. I say the labor was ceased. God stopped them. You see, God made man with an ingenious mind, ingenious, brilliant. And if they'll use it with God's wisdom and God's intellect and God's knowledge, man, it's amazing. But that same ingenuity, that same intelligence, that same ability can be used for self and sin and Satan. And when it's done, you find out something like this. It's a mess. It's sinful. It disgraces and displeases God. And God, thank the Lord, didn't let them continue. They were using that intellect, that ingenuity for self and sin and Satan. And God said, you're not going to do that and get by. Even when we do our best, if it's apart and without the Holy Spirit, without the stamp of God, it's wrong. God said, you're not going to do it. He stopped them. Here's the supervisor, he goes up to the foreman of the brick makers, and he intends to say, I need 1,000 more brick. But when he speaks, here's what comes out. Ting tong, see ting tong. And he thought, did I really say that? So he tried it again. Ting tong, see ting tong. He says, what in the world? How did I? What language is that? He understood what words he was trying to say, but he heard himself saying something different. And the brick maker, the brick foreman, is looking like, what is he talking about? And he intends to ask him, what are you saying? But when he answers back, he says, Kinkasarokanabakanikanopristana. And he goes, and the foreman's going, what in the world? And here's a good old boy standing by, and he said, what in the far are y'all talking about? So they can't understand each other. How in the world can you work? How in the world can you build the buildings that they're intending to build and the cities they're in, the city they're intending to build? And all this very, very detailed when they can't even understand each other. And God knew how to fix it where they couldn't. You know what they did? They stopped. Better said, God stopped them. And he can stop us. They still had the mortar, they still had the brick, they still had the stone, they still had all the know-how, they had all the materials and all the ingenuity. They still had the smarts, they just couldn't build. He stopped them. Not only stopped them, but he also separated them. This one fellow, he didn't even know what he was saying, but it ended up he was speaking Spanish. And he's going around trying to find somebody. I mean, trying to find somebody to understand. And he didn't understand, couldn't find anybody. And then all of a sudden, he spoke it, and somebody understood him. And all of a sudden, they found two or three others that was understanding Spanish. And this fellow over here is speaking Chinese. He don't know what to call it yet, but he's trying to find somebody to understand him. He finds some people, and God separates them, the Chinese and the Japanese and the Spanish and the English. And he does exactly what he said for them to do. But he didn't put anybody by themselves. He put people together. He not only stopped them, he separated them, but then he scattered them. The Bible said he dispersed them throughout the land. You know what? That was exactly what he told them to do to begin with. Now here's my message. In spite of all the hoopla and all the work and all the ingenuity and all the knowledge and all the determination of these well-equipped people, very determined people, had their mind, their sight on the goal. They knew what they were going to do, and they were doing it. And God said, if I don't stop them, they'll do what they say. But God stopped them. And I'm so glad he did. Because I want to tell you something. You may not understand this, but it's true. The worst thing that could happen to this world right now is for everybody to get together. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. Try to do. And as long as there's evil in the heart of man, a one world government will not work. It's going to take Jesus and making us right and clearing us up and dealing with sin to make this world work as one. And until then, getting together, trying to... Hey, you know what happened? You know the best thing that's happened to religion? Denominations. Now, don't tell anybody I said this. But the worst thing that could happen is for a bunch of Catholics to come in and want to try and worship with us tonight. Or Jehovah's Witness. Or Mormons. Or Joel Osteen's bunch. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. Worst thing that could happen is for us, because somebody's going to have to compromise if we get along. Best thing God ever did was separate people. And he says, you can try all you want to, do all you want to do. If I don't want you to, you won't. And I'm glad he does. I'm glad he doesn't leave us alone. I'll tell you, I'll get back to my point of my message. God says, I have a perfect, pure, flawless plan for your life. If you'll follow me, we'll go good places and see good things happen, and I'll bless you. But you start going your way and not asking me about it, not praying about it, not following me, I want to tell you, says God, you're heading for trouble. And if I have mercy on you, I'll stop you. But I may just let you go on a little while and let you suffer the consequences. Let me close with this thought. I love this. Listen to me. They were looking for a social unity. They were looking for religious unity. They were looking for a name for themselves, right? Social unity, religious unity, and a name for themselves. Listen to this one verse, what God's going to give one day to his people. Listen, he that overcometh, will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God? Religious. And he shall go out no more, and I will write his name. They were wanting a name for themselves. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city. They was wanting a city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. They're striving for all these things, and God said, if you'll just trust me and hang on, I'll give it to you one day. Everything you're wanting, I'll give you that and more, and mine will be better than yours. God, listen to me, stops the self-willed. He prohibits us from doing dumb things. It's the best thing that could happen. We need to listen, stand together. You've listened well.